Well, several years ago, Chuck Norris, the actor and martial arts expert, was filming in a little town in Texas. And after a long, hard day, he went to a local restaurant to get something to eat. And while he was waiting for his meal, a man came up to him and said, "You are sitting in my booth." And though Chuck did not like the tone of the man's voice, he just quietly got up and moved over to another booth. Well, a few minutes later, the man walked over to Chuck and said, "You're Chuck Norris, aren't you?" And Chuck said, "Yes, I am." And the man said, "Wow, you could have kicked me all around just then, but you didn't do it." And Chuck just smiled at him and motioned for him to sit down, and he sat down, and they talked to one another as if they had been best friends forever. Now, what this story tells us is that we can learn to live out the beatitude that is in our scripture lesson for this morning. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Now, meekness is not weakness. And that's what I want to explore in the next few moments. Let us pray. Oh God, speak to us according to our spiritual needs. And help us to understand how we can demonstrate meekness like Jesus demonstrated meekness. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, many of us are confused today about what meekness really means. Author A.W. Tozer once wrote this about being meek. He said, "The meek man is not a human mouse afflicted with a sense of his own inferiority. He knows he is as weak and as helpless as God declared him to be, but paradoxically, he knows that he is, in the sight of God, more important than even the angels. In himself, he is nothing. But in God, he is everything." Now, this quality of meekness that is found in Matthew 5 flows naturally from the first beatitude, which is about being poor in spirit and being totally dependent upon Almighty God. It also flows from the second beatitude, which has to do with mourning over the sinful state of oneself and all of humanity. Until a person feels spiritually bankrupt and full of grief over his or her own unworthiness, and we are all unworthy, then it's hard to experience the blessings of meekness. Meekness does not mean weakness. It means never asserting oneself for one's own self. It carries the idea of restraint through strength, the kind of strength that A.W. Tozer was expressing, a strength that is found in Almighty God. Some have said that a meek person appears to be the weakest, but is actually the strongest. Now, the Greek word translated for meek in this passage is the word praus, and it basically means gentle, and it means mild or friendly or pleasant. It means to endure injury with patience and without resentment, to be mild in temper, not easily provoked or irritated, to be restrained and tolerant and humble. That was originally used to describe domesticated animals like a horse. Now, a horse is a very powerful animal, a symbol of strength. A wild and untamed horse, though, is simply useless. It cannot be ridden or directed or guided or used to pull or carry anything if it's untamed. However, when a horse has been properly tamed, its great strength can be used for all kinds of things and all kinds of tasks. A tamed and trained horse is a picture of power that is under control. And that is what meekness is all about. Now, St. Francis of Assisi once said this, "Where there is charity and wisdom, there is neither fear nor ignorance. And where there is patience and humility, there is no greed." Think about that. Jesus' words in Matthew 5 are almost a direct quote from Psalm 37:11, our Old Testament reading. "But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." Now, it took a long time for the Israelites to inherit the promised land. It took a long time for them to wander throughout the wilderness, some 40 years. It took a long time for them to make their conquest into the Holy Land under the leadership of Joshua. It took a long time for them to experience this peace that was promised by Psalm 37. The Israelite people had to have great patience as they waited and waited and waited. Now, there's a contemporary translation of this beatitude that goes like this. "But the meek will be given all of the land and all of the peace that they want, because they know how to wait for the Lord." Well, on October the 21st, 1983, a movie entitled The Right Stuff hit the big screen. It was not a box office success. They lost money, but it did earn 8 nominations for an Oscar. It was based on the book by Tom Wolfe, by the same title, The Right Stuff. And it was all about the development of America's space program. And when Wolfe was doing his research, he discovered something amazing about the test pilots who were being selected and trained and considered to become astronauts. He noticed that there were some of them that exhibited this exceptional sense of courage and coolness under pressure and a sense of self-control. And it was different from some of the other test pilots. And he was amazed by that. He didn't know what to define it, how to define it, or how to describe it. So he basically just came up with a phrase that he made up on his own. He basically said, "They have the right stuff." Well, there is a kind of Christian right stuff that sets us apart in the world as well. It includes courage and calmness and self-control, the ingredients that make up meekness. And it comes from an unshakable confidence and certainty in Almighty God. It is the real right stuff that Jesus was describing in his Sermon on the Mount. Now, there are numerous examples of meekness scattered across the pages of Scripture. Moses is well known to be one of the greatest biblical characters who exhibited meekness. Numbers 12 tells us that the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Now, the word humble is the same word for the word Greek in Hebrew. And God chose Moses to be a leader of the Israelite people, to lead them on this great exodus out of Egypt and to wander out into the wilderness and eventually to make their way toward the Holy Land. And as they were making their way and wandering and traveling, as you remember from probably reading some of your scripture lessons, the Israelite people often grumbled and murmured against Moses. They were very unhappy with him and critical of him. And yet Moses continued to love them, accept them, to be kind to them, to be gentle with them, to be meek in his responses to them. And yet God at one point got so angry with the Israelites that he decided to completely destroy them. Some of you may not realize this, but there was a part in the story where he decided to destroy all of the nation of Israel and start over and create a new nation of Israelites from the children of Moses. Now, what did Moses do? He expressed and to put into practice his own meekness, and he fell on his face before Almighty God, and he cried out in prayer and said, "Oh God, please do not do this. Please do not destroy them. Please forgive them." for they know not what they do." Now, this is a most unusual story in the scripture, because usually when God made a decision on what he was going to do, he stuck with it. But in this case, he changed his decision based on Moses' prayer, and he decided not to destroy the Israelites, to forgive them, and to let them continue on. It's truly an amazing story. And it happened because of the meekness of Moses. Abraham was another one that expressed the quality of meekness. You probably remember the story when he and his nephew Lot were traveling together. They had a lot of servants, a lot of shepherds, a lot of huge herds of sheep and all sorts of animals. And they started to bicker and complain and criticize and argue among themselves. And Abraham said, "Well, you know, maybe it's time for us to split apart. Maybe it's time for us to take our own little separate areas and territories and establish our own clans and families." And Abraham said, now he was the senior leader of all of the people, and he could and had the right to choose the superior land, the best land, for himself. But what did Abraham do? He expressed his meekness by telling his nephew Lot, "Lot, you go ahead. You can choose whichever land you want." So what did Lot do? He chose the best land. And what did Abraham do? He said, "Okay, that's fine. I'll take this inferior land and I'll move my family and my herds there." He expressed his meekness, his kindness, his gentleness, and let Lot do what he wanted so he could respond in his way. And what did God do? God blessed Abraham and multiplied his property and his resources and his wealth much more so than Lot, because Abraham was meek. There are lots of other folks scattered across the pages of God's Word who remind us of what it means to be meek, but by far the greatest person of all was Jesus. He not only responded in meekness and gentleness to the religious rulers, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and the Sadducees, and all of those religious leaders. He not only responded to them with meekness, even though they were criticizing him and complaining to him and doing everything they could to try to destroy him. He loved them. He was gentle with them most often. And he accepted them. And even when he was hanging on the cross and they were taunting him and laughing at him and making fun of him, he did the most amazing thing. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So often, we know not what we do and how what we do hurts other people. Meekness involves loving and accepting and being gentle and caring with folks like that. So Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Now, what did he mean by that phrase, "inherit the earth"? Well, to inherit means to receive your full inheritance and things that you are to receive at some point in your life. And so Jesus was basically saying that those who are meek will receive an abundance, an overabundance of what God has promised, and it will be fulfilled in the new heaven and the new earth. That's basically what he was saying. Sometimes the Israelite people wondered why the wicked so often prospered and those who were more godly and righteous and more connected to God tended to not be so blessed. And Jesus was assuring them that by being meek, they would receive their full blessings. So the question is, are you a meek person? Well, like Moses, do you pray for people who murmur against you? Or do you hold a grudge and try to get even with them? Or like Abraham, do you humbly give up what is rightfully yours to claim, but instead you show your love for God and others? Do you do that, or do you actually try to take what you deserve, what you need to have, what you want to have, and even demand more? Or like Jesus, do you love and forgive even your enemies and those who try to persecute you? Or do you attack your enemies and do everything you can to try to destroy them? Meekness is not weakness. But it is very different from the ways of the world. During the Battle of Gettysburg in the Civil War, there was a Union soldier who absolutely hated the Confederates. After his leg was shattered by a Southern musket ball in the battle, he lay bandaged and helpless on the battlefield. And as he watched the battle rage, he saw the last great Southern charge led by the General Robert E. Lee, and he saw that it failed, and the Confederates were defeated and were forced to retreat. As the remaining Southern soldiers began retreating, he noticed that General Robert E. Lee himself and his officers that surrounded him began riding toward him. And although he was weakened by his injury, he was so bitter and angry that he looked right into the eyes of Robert E. Lee as he was approaching. And when Robert E. Lee began to pass him on his horse, he raised his hand and he said, "Hooray for the Union!" And suddenly, Robert E. Lee stopped, he dismounted his horse, and he started walking toward that injured Union soldier. And the soldier knew that his life was over. But when Robert E. Lee got up beside him, he kneeled down. He took the young man's hand. He looked him in the eye with a very sad and humble expression on his face. And he said, "Young man, I hope you will be well soon." He patted his hand, got back on his horse, and he rode away. Well, the soldier later wrote, "If I live 1,000 years, I shall never forget the expression on General Lee's face. There he was, defeated, retiring from a field that had cost him and his cause their last hope. And yet he stopped to say words like that to a wounded soldier of the opposition who had taunted him as he passed by. As soon as the general had left me, I cried myself to sleep there on that bloody battlefield." Now, why did that man cry himself to sleep? Why did he remember that episode for the rest of his life? Because people just don't do what Robert E. Lee did. When mistreated, even good people will try to get back at others, to get revenge, to hurt those who have hurt them. What Robert E. Lee did for that bitter Union soldier that day is what all of us should do for one another. Lee's kindness and his gentle words broke that Union soldier's hard and angry heart. Lee's meekness and compassion changed that man forever, and our meekness can change other people forever as well. Though we don't see that kind of meekness very often, we can. We can all do what Robert E. Lee did on that day. We can all learn to respond like Chuck Norris did, and Moses, and Abraham, and especially Jesus. We can all do what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. May it be so for all of us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.